Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. Wherever you're hearing this, we're so glad that you have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. For there's a promise to you today as we go to the Word of God. Amen. And that is that we who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness shall be filled with what we're hungry for. We want to know more about how to please our God, how to live pleasing to Him, how to live in the victory that He has promised and provided through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So today, if you're interested in victory and interested in pleasing God, then you're hungry to be right with God. And that hunger will cause God to fill you with what you're hungry for. You know, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, God breathed the same Spirit that He breathed into Adam to make him a living soul. He has breathed into His Word. That's why Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we're going to the Word of God to get some spiritual life today, to eat some soul food this morning for breakfast. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. We're going to read down to verse 9. But before we do, I want to announce our subject today. What you want to be looking for in this sermon today is a hope that outlasts trials. A hope that outlasts trials. Now, this is not general hope. All hope is essential to overcoming. This is a specific kind of hope, a kind of hope that results from Jesus' resurrection and Jesus conquering death in our behalf. It is a hope that you hear mainly of around the Easter season, Resurrection Sunday. And I think one of the problems with that is that we kind of relegate that message and the hope that we receive from it for every situation in life. We kind of put that hope in the Easter time or at a funeral when death seems to be such a powerful foe, a formidable enemy of us. And we go back and bring that out for that occasion. I believe we need it for every occasion in our life today. So with that in mind, hope that outlasts trials. Let me make this statement before we read from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. All our troubles, heartaches, heartbreaks occur in time. And when time gives way to eternity, we will be past them forever. It is said that time heals everything, all wounds. But I submit to you that not time that heals everything, not just the passing of time, but I submit to you that eternity heals everything. When we as Christians look past the moment in time and grasp the eternal blessings ahead, we have a lasting hope, or a hope that will outlast our trials. Let's talk about Job for a minute before we read these scriptures. When Job got a revelation of a Redeemer coming who would conquer death and resurrect the righteous, he gained a hope that transcended time and laid hold on eternal blessings to come. And that's what caused a complete perspective change in him. I mean, he questioned all of the things that were happening to him, and they were terrible things. He didn't know about this deal between God and the devil, where the devil said, if you take the hedge down, let me take away the blessings that you've secured for him. He will curse you. Man don't love you for any other reason than what you do for them. He only what is happening in this moment makes him care about you at all. Let me at those things. And God said, Listen, Job will not deny me ultimately. And this is the reason he didn't. Amen. And this is what brought him out of the depression that he was in and resolved every question that he had about what had just happened in his life that was so devastating. And when his wife added to all the other, and I won't go into all the other, but she just put the icing on the cake of his depression and said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job got a revelation from God. Hallelujah. One of the most ancient books in the Bible is the book of Job. It is one of the very most ancient in chronological order. But he looked down through the corridor of time, amen, and he saw a Redeemer coming. He said, I know. This was revelation knowledge that God granted to him all that time ago. I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last day, he's going to stand upon the earth. Amen. And though the skin worms, though I do die, and the skin worms eat all the flesh from my bones, when he stands up, I'm going to stand right up with him in my flesh. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, that's a revelation of the resurrection of Jesus and how it impacts us who face the certainty, if Jesus tarries, of this body wearing thin, wearing out, and because of time is limited, we have a short time here, but we have eternity there. And when he got a revelation of a Redeemer coming who would conquer death, not just for himself, but in our behalf, and resurrect the righteous, he gained a hope that transcended time, laid hold of eternal blessings to come, a lasting hope that outlasted severe trials. He looked down through the corridor of time, and he saw Jesus conquering death, and Jesus, death being swallowed up by life, and time giving way to eternity. Now, God blessed him in time, again, with everything that he had lost. But he wasn't basing his hope on blessings that came in time, but blessings that were coming in eternity. Now, having that in mind, read with me the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, and verses 3 through 9. Listen, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now here's the lasting hope, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise God. Amen. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That includes the trials, because the next verse says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'd like a hallelujah instead of an amen out in this audience today. Hallelujah for what we have just read. Look at Peter, 1 Peter 1, 4, and 5. We are called to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And until we get there, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, His presence, His person in our life. Look at the word inheritance in verse 4. We are told that we have an inheritance, and that inheritance is incorruptible. That means it never deteriorates. It never dies. And that it is undefiled. And that means that it cannot be polluted, dirtied, or contaminated in the slightest. And that it fades not away. That means it will last forever. And I'm going to tell you, forever is going to outlast time. And this hope in what awaits us forever will cause us to outlast our trials. It'll cause us to keep on keeping on when we feel like giving in and we feel like giving up. If we will look like Job did. Listen, we don't need a vision and a revelation that is supernatural when we have the Word right here in front of us. Hallelujah. We can see the repercussions of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This is the whole basis of victory that Paul talked about. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Where did that occur? When did that occur? When Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death, hell, and the grave. When He did, and He did it in our behalf. Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, if you're a discouraged minister today, remember this. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, in that you minister unto the saints and continue to minister. Praise God. I went through nervous exhaustions years and years ago. I gave my testimony, put it up on the web and put it on tape, and someone came across one of those tapes. We did not send them to them. They did not solicit one, but God got it to them, and my testimony was on it of my discouragement, my trial, my test, and the hope that outlasts time that brought me through that test. Praise God. Amen. And I got a letter from a minister that had been so disappointed, become so disillusioned within his faith and relationship to and with God, so discouraged that he had already written his letter of resignation as a evangelist with a full gospel organization, Spirit-filled organization. But even though he was filled with the Spirit, he was dealing with that that quenches the Spirit, that grieves the Spirit, when he went into deep depression and deep discouragement. When he read that I had been where he was, and that God in His grace and mercy showed me how to get past that, granted as I studied the Word and sought Him for it, a solution to my dilemma, my problem, when my nerves were so bad that I couldn't sense His presence, I couldn't feel God, and I couldn't find God in the midst of my trial. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hey, man, I found a man. I found a man going through similar things. Actually, a couple of guys, Asaph and King David, in the book of Psalms. I remember going over to the church, walking with no one in the building, not preaching to anyone but me, as I read the Psalms. And I found David impatient. I found David saying things like, "Soul, why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. Amen. God is my refuge and strength, a very or ever-present help in the time of trouble. Listen, Pentecostal friend of mine, He's not present when you feel Him. He's present all the time. He's not present when you sense Him. He's present all the time. That very present in Psalms is ever-present in the Hebrew. That means He's there when you don't see any evidence of His presence. And when you don't feel any evidence of His presence, He's right where He said He would be. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Hallelujah. I will never, it's in the emphatic, what a promise from Jesus. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way. Hallelujah. Listen, friend of mine. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trials. You will have tests. Tribulation is the Greek word. It means it's thelpsis in the Greek. It means heartache, heartbreak, pressure. All kinds of pressure that is brought to bear. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And it's that victory over all the forces of the enemy and death itself, death giving way to life. Hallelujah. Time giving way to eternity. Praise God. We have a lasting hope that will outlast the troubles, the trials of this old fallen world and this old faulty body. Praise those are skin worms. Amen. You know, it answers to me many questions. One of them is, how is God going to reconstitute us without some mummified something to start with? Job said he don't need that. He's got our DNA. Though the skin worms eat all the flesh from my bones, and though you can just imagine animals scattering the bones if you die out in the wilderness. Listen, he said when he stands up, when he conquers death, when time gives way to eternity for Christ and in our behalf, I'm going to stand up. Amen. I'm going to stand up with him and in my flesh, not some kind of protoplasmic, you know, some kind of spiritual something another. No, it's going to be Job reconstituted, Job resurrected, Job in his flesh, standing up in the last day. Praise God. Amen. Anyway, I got a letter from this pastor who heard my testimony and how God in His grace and mercy and patience with me helped me to see what I'm telling you today and helped me through that time and brought me out on the other side of it. Oh, friend of mine, what a joy it was when I read the letter. He said, I read your testimony. I appreciate you being open and honest about what you went through and how God helped you to get through. And he said, I have canceled my letter of resignation. And if it's any consolation to you, I want you to know that through your pain, I have been healed. Glory, I feel the presence of God, right? I hope you do too. I'm not talking about goose pimples. I'm talking about the grace and the mercy and the wonderful blessing of knowing Jesus as our Savior and knowing God as our Heavenly Father and knowing what is awaiting us as time eats away at our bodies. And we realize, we wake up one day and say, wait a minute, I'm an old guy, I'm an old gal, how did I get here? I didn't expect it to happen so quick. It's a shock, isn't it? And dear friend of mine, I'm closer to Him and I'm closer to heaven. I'm closer to time giving way to eternity. I'm not looking for a hopeless end. I am taking hold of an endless hope. Praise God. Absent from the body, you see, means to be present with the Lord. And when the trump sounds and Jesus descends, these bodies are going to be reconstituted. You say, how's God going to do that? Because He's God, dear friend. And there's nothing, including that, impossible with Him. Job said that they can eat me up. My body can be ate up. I'm going to get real graphic here for a moment. My body can be eaten up. All my flesh can be eaten by worms. And you know what happens after they eat that? They excrete it into the soil. He said, but when He stands up, when He conquers death, what death has done to me is going to turn completely around, because death is going to be swallowed up in victory. And when He stands up, I'm going to get up. Praise God. And in my flesh, I'm going to see Him. Answers one of these questions I'm asked often. Are we going to know each other in heaven? Job said, if you know me here, you're going to know me there, because the Job you're looking at, not the sick Job, not the one with boils, because he got healed of that, not the Job that was down in the dumps and down in depression and full of questions. This Job, hallelujah, that kept on keeping on, because he saw past time and got a glimpse of eternity. God wants you to see past time, and not just get a glimpse, but through the Word of God that we have as the witness today. Paul is telling them what he's telling us, to an inheritance. What is awaiting us? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And until we get there, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Where is this inheritance? Where is this inheritance? Look at verse 4 again. It's reserved in heaven for you and for me if you are a child of God. Someone might be saying that means we do not have this inheritance of eternal life until we get to heaven. Peter knew that some people might think that way. So look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How do we know we're going to receive the inheritance? We know from the moment we accept Christ as Savior, we can be and will be kept by the power of God, not by our own resolve in and of itself. We have to will to keep our faith in Christ as our Savior and our Sovereign. But dear friend of mine, we are kept by something far greater than our own resolve. We need that resolve, but God gives us the power. Amen. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He shall also quicken your mortal body. Listen, that means to give that same resurrection life, hallelujah, by the same power that raised Him. This is a lasting hope, and it will outlast all of the troubles and all of the trials that we will certainly encounter in faulty bodies in a fallen world. But our hope transcends this old world, transcends time, lays hold on eternity. And this lasting hope that outlasts our trouble, therefore, produces a laughing hope, wherein we greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice in the face of the certainty that death will come one day, but death for us will be a doorway. Amen. It won't be it'll only be a comma. It won't be a period when that day comes in the life of a child of God. Look at 1 Peter 1:6-8 as we continue. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. See, time. This is just about a short time. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That means testings, trials, tribulations. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory when at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Dear friend of mine today, you may be going through a severe time of testing, if need be. If need be. You know, the scripture actually says that God is still monitoring all of this. He's still in control when it seemed like he's just let it go, let his hands off. No, they're not. No, they're not. He's a hands-on God. And there hath no temptation, test, trial taken you or me, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, and I'm going to add enabled, because we're kept by the power of God. Amen. Until the day of salvation. That which we are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you might be able to bear it or bear up under it. To me, this right here that we're talking about today is the way of escape, the intentions of the trial, and that is to get us to give up on God, to throw away our faith, to become despondent because we're disillusioned and impatient. So the Bible said that trials, tribulation worketh patience. It brings patience and develops it in our life. And we have need of patience, the scripture said, that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. Most people don't receive the promise of deliverance, the promise of bringing good out of the bad, because we give up, we give in, we give over. We let the devil lie to us, and his lie is so believable because of the way we feel. We've got to get a hold of something that transcends our feelings, what we see, what we sense, and lays hold on that is a truth that cannot be shaken. There's something waiting for me and you that can't be shaken, and there's someone with us that cannot be shaken from his commitment to go with us all the way through this journey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I rejoice in you today, not because I don't have trouble, but because I have you, no matter what the trouble. Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know you're going to take whatever is happening in lives of your children and work it all together for good, because we love you and we're the called according to your purpose. And your purpose is clear in the Word of God. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, you never promised us there would be no trials, no test, no time of suffering. But you promised us grace sufficient to take us through that time. And you promised us blessings that are eternal to make up for that time of trouble, that little blip, that little spark of time that just appears for a moment and is gone, in light of eternity and the blessings that are surely coming. When Jesus descends with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, praise God, and we ascend with him. Hallelujah, to live with him forever, age without end. Today, dear friend, I pray that you will look past time. Right now, look past time and see what is waiting for you and waiting for me. If you listen, God loves you today. He will not leave you. Even if you're questioning, His love is stronger than your questioning. He wants you to believe Him. He wants you to trust Him for your sake. Amen. And to release Him to finish the work He's begun in you. Hallelujah. He that's begun a good work in you, He will not be a hands-off God. He's a hands-on God. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will while I am waiting, quiet and still. Oh, give way to the sovereignty of God, to the love of God, to the faithfulness of God. Amen. Bow at the foot of the cross. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there today. Leave it there and get up with a heart that rejoices. You want to see this thing turn around and God restore whatever the devil's tried to steal? Get up from prayer. Hallelujah. Rejoicing in the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. Acknowledge and ascribe to Him that He has never stopped loving you, and He never will if you will keep your faith in Him and not accuse Him anymore of being unfaithful to you. God loves you today. He's faithful. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer lives. How about you? And at the last day, He's going to stand upon the earth because He conquered death in our behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. I rejoice in what I know is coming, and I rejoice in who I know is with me and who is keeping me until time gives way to eternity, until death gives way to eternal life. Hallelujah. And until that day comes, we are kept by the power of God. Therefore, we rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord, because we know how it's going to turn out, and we know there's no circumstance that can keep Him from keeping His promise to us. Though the skin worms glut themselves on our decaying flesh if we're buried somewhere in the ground. Amen. When He stands up, so shall we. We don't wait for Easter to talk about the resurrection and what it means. We don't wait, amen, till a funeral, until a death occurs, to begin to look again at what Jesus did in our behalf and what it means to us when the trials and tests of life come. It's a hope that outlasts every possible circumstance that we could ever imagine or face. Thank God for victory in Jesus Christ today. God loves you so much, dear friend. And the kind of love He loves you with, amen, causes Him to keep every promise that He has ever promised. Every single promise. And if you will believe Him today, trust His faithfulness today, the promises of God are yes and amen to everyone that believeth. Don't turn away from God. We're partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. They that endure all of these things, we will endure until the end. Not escape, but endure. The same shall be saved. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's keep our faith in the faithful One. Let's never look to the world for the comfort and consolation that only God can give, and that He gives us graciously, abundantly. Oh, today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible said you're without God. And by virtue of being without God, you're without hope in the world. You will look to the world because that's all you have, and the world can't give you hope, can't give you consolation and comfort. Men's hearts are failing them for fear and looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. But if you come to Jesus, repent of your sin, receive Him as your Savior, God will pardon you. It's no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, dear friend. He'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. And He'll grant unto you this hope that transcends time and outlasts trials, that even death cannot conquer. Hallelujah. And you can rejoice, for the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads.